Adam and Eve. And maybe Adam saw Eve as more than just his wife. And that being so, maybe he felt like what Saint John says in the 15th chapter, in the 13th verse, where it says, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
Hope you enjoy our pastor's message. I'm Brother Michael Williams. Thank you for listening. We pray you were enlightened spiritually by our radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of our service or support us by donation, write us at Bethany Ministry Center, P.O. Box 6764, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307, or call us at 318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Glory to God. Proverbs 22, 17 and 18 says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy mouth. If you will pay attention to the word and have ears to hear what God is saying, and give God's word some attention, then God, in turn, will take that word that you've been meditating on and form it and fit it in your mouth for your situation. God will even put natural words in your mouth. You ain't got to always be quoting scripture. I can remember times that God put words in my mouth. Even before I got saved. After I got saved, words that he put in my mouth to say. And I didn't know that God had given me those words, but he gave me words that set a course in my life, set a direction and a path forward. When I was in college, I was a sophomore, an engineering student, and General Motors came to the campus. I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know nothing about them coming or anything. I just happened to be with another guy named Greg Harrell. And he said, I need to go by and see Mr. Graham. He was over all the co-op at Southern for the engineers. He said, I need to go see Mr. Graham. Mr. Graham got something some information he need to give me. I said, okay, I'm going to go with you. So I'm standing there, and I'm not even in the conversation. I'm standing off to the side while he's talking to Mr. Graham, because Mr. Graham know me. We're all in taking his classes and stuff. And then he looked at me. He said, Mr. Tejada, that's what he's called me. He said, Mr. Tejada, he said, you won't go to this dinner with General Motors? I said, well, yeah, it's free, huh? It's a meal. Yeah, I'll go. I wasn't even thinking about no job. I'm thinking about fancy restaurant in Baton Rouge, Ralph and Cuckoo's, free. Yeah, I'll go. So I went, got on the interview schedule. Next day, I went in there that morning, and before I even sat down in the chair good, the man said, listen, I already got my engineer. I met somebody that interviewed earlier than you, and I already offered them the job. I only came to Southern to get one. He said, but I got a little time here. If you ain't got nothing to do, we can sit here and just talk, you know, got 30 minutes. So we just sit there and start having a conversation. Then that man asked me a question. He said, what do you like about your engineering classes? I thought for a minute, I said, boy, I just love them design classes. When I said that, I rocked his world. His eyes got big. You like design? I said, yes, sir. He said, boy, we need some help in that area. He said, you like design? I said, why you like design? And I gave him a few reasons why I like my design classes. He says, they'll telephone around. I said, yeah, the assistant dean right around the hall. I said, come on, I'll help you find a phone. Man made a phone call, and I'm listening to him. He said, listen, I know I didn't come down here to Southern get but one, but I found another one. Can I bring two with me? My whole life changed. Because I said one word, design. I didn't know that man, but that's what he was looking for. He offered me a job on the spot. I was known as what they call a GM scholar. I got scholarship money too. Gave me a scholarship to come work up there in the summertime. Then he gave me a guaranteed job plus scholarship money and making good money for a college student, over $2,000 a month. 30 years ago. Got on the phone that afternoon and said, Mama, I got offered a job in Detroit. She said, oh, Lord. Same thing I said. You know, Detroit back then was known as the murder capital of the United States. And a lot of murders up there and stuff. And then God moved on her heart. She said, well, you got to go where opportunity knocks. God opened the door for you. I guess you got to go. And there I was. Just going with a guy one day that asked me to come with him. And there I am, a couple of months later, two, 3 months later, there I am, going to Detroit. Spent two summers up there. I could go on and on about the power of words. And I'm going to say not just any old words, but the power of faith-filled words. And I define faith-filled words as words that have been spoken to you by God. Hallelujah. Boy, I thank God for it. Now, that was the introduction. Now, I told you I had a short lesson for you. Joshua 1:8, everybody know it. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Before the word can be in your mouth, it must be in your ears and in your thoughts. If you're not hearing the word on a regular basis, then you limit the opportunities for God to really minister something great to you. Because he could be speaking to you and you just don't have ears to hear. Because the scriptures say, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. That means everybody not listening. Everybody don't have ears that hear. Sometimes God can be talking to people and they just turn him a deaf ear and say, I ain't doing that. Mm-mm, that ain't what I want. Hey, that ain't what I want. That ain't my will. No, I ain't doing it. You can accept God's will or reject God's will. But if you say, God, open my ears to hear, and I'm going to listen, and Lord, what you tell me, I'm going to say, and what I see you doing, the images that you plant in my heart, in my imagination, I see myself doing something because that's the image that you're giving me in my heart, I'm going to go follow it out. I'm going to act on it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just going to say what he says. Do what I see him doing. That's what I want to do. Amen. And that's what I want us to do. Amen. Now, Exodus 15, turn over there. Exodus 15, verse 25 and 26. I want to show you something here. And he cried unto the Lord, talking about Moses. And Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, let me back up a little bit. Let me go back and read some of this. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So they traveled 3 days in the wilderness with no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter, therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What are we going to do? We've been 3 days in this desert. There ain't no water out here. What are we going to do? There was water there, but the water was bitter. That means that the water was bad. It was not drinkable. And look at what happened. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Guess what that tree was? The cross. God showed Moses Jesus in the wilderness. He showed him a tree, a cross. He showed him Jesus. And then look at what he says. Look what happened. And he showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Notice here that that tree there represents Calvary. It represents the cross. It represents what Jesus did. He took all the bitterness out of life. Just took it. Just took everything that don't produce life and made it sweet. God can take the bitterness out of your life, and he's actually done that through the cross of Jesus Christ so that your life can be sweet. Hallelujah. But look here, there's a key to it, though. There's a key to having this sweetness in your life. Listen at this right here. I was reading this the other morning because, you know, I've just been speaking the word, meditating on healing scriptures. And so I went to this one here. I said, I'm going to get my Bible and read it this morning. I ain't going from memory. I'm just going to put my eyes on it. And when I read over it a few times, it's like I read it and the Holy Ghost just started talking. He just said a few things to me. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. How many of y'all heard that before? That's all over the Old Testament, ain't it? And will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee. Now, here God instituted a statute and an ordinance and said, I'm the Lord that heals you. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm the one that heals you. And Hebrew scholars tell us that it wasn't God that put sickness on him. It was that God had permitted sickness. In other words, this could be better read this way. He said, for I will permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee. God is your healer. Jesus is your healer. He's that tree, glory to God, that makes bitter things sweet. Praise God. Some of us had a bitter taste in our mouth. And I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is look to the cross. And look at what Jesus has done for you. And I tell you what, that the cross and what Jesus has done for you will take all the bitterness out of your life right there. And make your life sweet again. Your life is not over. Amen. Amen. There's still much more life for you to live. Don't you give up on life. I'm going to tell you, don't you quit. Now, when I was reading this, I had read through it, and, you know, I just read, hearken diligently to the voice, and then I started asking myself a question here. I say, now, sound like he's saying the same thing twice, just saying it in a different way. Because listen to what he says. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right, I change that word to pleasing, do that which is pleasing to the Lord, and if you will give ear to his command, I say, now, wait a minute. Hearken diligently to the voice. And do what? And what? And give ear to his command. He's talking about your hearing. Right in the midst of you hearing the voice and giving ear to his commandment is doing what's pleasing in his sight. And when I was reading that, then the Lord said something else to me. When I read it, and while I was reading it, he was talking to me while I was reading. He says, and if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. He said, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit speaks to us what he hears. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God in the new covenant, that's the Holy Spirit. So if you will hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and will do what is pleasing to God and will give ear to his commandment, guess what that is? The written word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A statute is a written law. So I say, my God, I'm supposed to give ear to what's been written, and I'm supposed to hearken diligently to the Holy Spirit when he speak. I'm supposed to listen to what he's saying to me, and I'm supposed to listen to what that word is speaking to me, what's in writing. How many of you know the Lord leads you both ways? You get led by the Spirit of God and things that where ain't nothing written, the Holy Spirit leads you. Right? And then where you have the written word, I'm supposed to give ear to it. I'm supposed to hear it and heed it and pay attention to it and meditate on it and incline my ear to it, to the written word. Amen. And if I'm doing that, then the Holy Spirit will be able to speak to me whatever I need to hear. Amen. And then when he speaks to me in my ears, when I have ears that hear, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Amen. See, there's that voice again. My sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they won't follow. And so when you hear him speak to you, then I'm going to take the words that he speak to me and I'm going to put them in my mouth. And I'm going to meditate on them until I begin to see myself doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your imagination is blessed. God gave you your imagination. It ain't for the devil. People imagine bad things all the time. Why don't you imagine something good? See yourself laying hands on somebody. I was meditating in Mark 16 one day about laying hands on the sick, and I just laid back and said, I see myself laying hands on the sick and them getting well. I said, Lord, create that image in me of what your will is based on this scripture here. And I saw myself laying hands on a young lady. Do you know before I went to bed that night, exactly what I had imagined came to pass. I said, well, look at this. I imagined this morning. Now, this all coming to pass. All God was doing was showing me something that was to come. He can't show you things to come if you shut down your imagination. Because he's not going to show it to you like physical right here. You're going to see it. Paul said, we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Paul said, I'm looking at things you can't see. What's he doing? He's got an image on the inside of him created by the Holy Ghost. And then he's just saying what he hears the Lord speak to him, and he's just doing what he see the Lord doing in him or through him. Glory to God. So you got to have the written word, and that's what the Lord told Joshua. This book of the law, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Don't stop speaking this word. And he told him, now you got to be very strong and very courageous to do this. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So you have to be diligent and you have to be courageous to discipline yourself if you will hearken diligently. That means a constant, steady effort of positioning yourself to hear what God is saying to you and then just speaking that. Hallelujah. You want greater results? You start living like this and say, I'm just going to say what he said. If he don't tell me to say nothing, why didn't Jesus say something when Pilate and Herod and all them was messing with him? And the Bible says he opened not his mouth. How come he didn't say nothing? Guess what? Didn't hear his father say nothing. He said, the father ain't saying nothing. I ain't got nothing to say. He only said what his father, what he heard his father saying. Father ain't saying nothing. He letting it go down. But just let it go down. Yes. Amen. I ain't saying nothing. Father ain't speaking right now. I'm going to tell you, God wants you to speak his word over your situation, over your circumstances, over your life, over your finances, over your children, your grandchildren, your husband, your wife. You speak his word. Amen. Over your job, over your friends, over situations where things don't come against you. You got to speak the word. You just can't just be grabbing words out there in space. You just can't be grabbing other words that people speaking to you. Other people give you words to say. Child, if I was you, I wouldn't say this. If I was you, I tell you, I'd tell them a piece of my mind. Well, whose word you going to speak? You going to speak a piece of their mind? A little piece? You might be speaking all their mind. It might be everything they got. If you're going to depend on that, you're in bad shape. Child, if I was you, I'd say this here. I mean, you know, I had people put words in your mouth. Child, I tell you, if they'd have said that to me, I'd tell you what I'd say. Next time they say something to you, say this. All right, now we easy to take other people's word. Yeah, that's right. How I'm supposed to say that again? Write it down for me. Huh? You know how you tell me? Write that down. Write that down for me. What I'm supposed to say now? Tell me what I'm supposed to say. Pastor Greg, I'm going to look for a job. What I'm supposed to say when I get there? Write down what I need to say. You get some help like that if I'm listening to God and God tell me to tell you what to say. But if he ain't telling me to say nothing, then I ain't supposed to tell you nothing. How many of y'all going to put this into practice? You see the value of it? See how your life can change in a moment? Some of you could be struggling financially, just struggling. Just things ain't going right. And you sit and you listen and God start giving you words to speak over your finances when ain't nothing happening. You ain't seeing no activity, no movement, but he done told you what to say. Because when he tell you what to say, he fixing to create your world for you. He's gonna create his will in your life. He finna bring heaven down. When you start speaking his word, heaven finna come down. How many of y'all can see it? Thank God for it. If you can see it, say, thank you, Jesus. How many of you hearing this word today? I'm telling you, if you got ears to hear, hear. Now, if you ain't gonna put this into practice, that means you ain't got no ears to hear. Oh, I can't hear that. I can't receive that. All right? You know, Jesus didn't fuss with people. He gave them the truth. He put it out there and he said, now. Then he cried with a loud voice. Anybody who have ears to hear, let him hear. Some of them people just kept right on walking. I ain't got time for that, man. All right. He said, bye-bye. He said some things that came from the Father. Sometimes he tell himself, he say, now, the word I just spoke to you is not mine, but the Father's. Some of them walked off from him and left him. I had trouble with that. I said, now, wait a minute, Jesus. Why you didn't run after them? You know, you're the good shepherd. Go find that one lost sheep. Why you just let them go like that? And then turn to the other ones and say, are y'all leaving too? I said, where the good shepherd at? Run after them. Say, hey, fellas, come back. Y'all misunderstood me. Come on. Let me give you another chance here. There's a side of him that if you won't go your own way, he said, all right, you won't go your own way, go ahead. Hey, he's the lamb and the lion. That lamb side of him will cuddle you and hug on you and stroke you and make you feel good and everything. But that lion side will run you off. It's the lion and the lamb. Amen. Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord refers to the Holy Spirit who speaks what he hears from the Father in Jesus so that we have something to say. And then he creates the image on the inside through us meditating in the word that gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to create the image of us doing the word or seeing the result that he wants you to have. He'll show you things to come. He will show you the end from the beginning. Well, if you ain't got no imagination, then you can't see none of that. You can't let the devil just destroy your imagination. We're supposed to cast down wicked imagination. But imagination that causes us to move out in God and to see us doing things like God would do, we're supposed to just say, okay, Lord, boy, I see that. But boy, I tell you, boy, that's far-fetched. But it don't look like that ever going to happen. Praise God. Now, let me close right here. Don't be silent when your circumstances are speaking and talking to you. Learn to speak the word of God. In other words, when God gives you words to say, sometimes these are words that are calling things that are not as though they were. It's when you begin to call things that look like they're not present, but you're calling them like they are. That's God giving you a word like that. See, God can give you all kind of words. Amen. He don't just have one type of word to give you. He give you all kind of words. Sometimes you're calling things that are not as though they were. Yeah. Not every word is like that. Sometimes they are. He can give you words and you call things. Then there are times that you have to confess the word of God for your own benefit. Where you just begin to declare the word of God. That's one way that God strengthens you on the inside, where you start confessing the word. Sometimes when I feel myself getting in a rut, I know what I need to do. I just need to sit down for about an hour and just start confessing the word again and reminding myself of who I am in Christ and what Jesus did for me and what God wants to do through me, and let me build myself up in that again. So God can put his word in my mouth that way. Amen. And then I'm going to tell you another way that he puts his word in your mouth, by you praying in other tongues. How many of you know when you pray in other tongues, you pray by the inspiration of who? Holy Spirit. So those words come from who? They come from God. They come from the Holy Spirit, right? He gives us the utterance. That means that God can fit his word in our mouth when we pray. Every time we pray in tongues, God's putting words in our mouth. And those words have power. Those words have life in them. So a lot of times, before I'll just haul off and start just trying to say something, because sometimes I'll be praying up and something, and I'm just snatching scriptures out there. You know how you just scripture snatch? Everything you know about that stuff, just snatch them, right? He gives us them. And it's all right to gather them together. But then you need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Till the Spirit of God come on you. And then when you start speaking, you're speaking the right scripture at the right time. Hallelujah. I command them to dissolve and to pass from your body now. And then the devil said, yeah, but she ain't going to be able to eat. I said, and I begin to pray. Every time he'd say something, God give me something to say back. I said, no, you're going to be able to eat anything you want time you get ready. I say, oh, I received that doctor's report. And I begin to declare, because God put a word in my mouth, you're healed in Jesus' name. Went back to the doctor, couldn't find a stone. Doctor tried to explain to us that he didn't make a mistake, showing us the two x-rays side by side. They was there. And they convinced me that they was there. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Often. God, he done brought it to another level. Now look. And then the devil said, yeah, but she ain't gonna be able to eat. I say, and I begin to prophesy. Every time he'd say something, God give me something to say back. I said, no, you're gonna be able to eat anything you want anytime you get ready. I say, oh, I don't receive that doctor's report. And I begin to declare, because God put a word in my mouth, you are healed in Jesus' name. Went back to the doctor, couldn't find a stone. Doctor trying to explain to us that he didn't make a mistake, showing us the two x-rays side by side. See, they was there, trying to convince me that they was there. Pray in the Holy Ghost often. See, God, he done brought it to another level. He said, now look, I'm going to fix this covenant where I get my word in all time. That's why the day tongue so much. Not in your word. Them not words. Don't come for the Holy Ghost. Fit his word in your mouth. Another way word over your situation is sing over. The Bible says to sing songs of deliverance. You start singing over your situation. You start singing to it. That's Paul and Silas did in Acts 16. They bad situations. You start singing to it. That's what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16. They had bad circumstances. They was in jail, and people probably wanted to take them, execute them, and beat them up, bad, and all of a sudden at midnight. the darkest hour.